Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. How are you today? What's going on? The gang, MS-13, accused of stabbing a 16-year-old 100 times, setting the body on fire. Water, water, and more water. Terrible weather picture. Beta, beta, beta. Not ready for prime time, huh? Hey, how many times can I vote? I am so tired. I mean, it takes 6 years to recover after having a baby. What? We just had a fantastic day at the Cross Church yesterday. Oh, you're going to want to hear this. And, well, that was followed up by one of those most humiliating moments. You're going to want to hear this, too. And the challenge? Are we more like the world or more like Jesus? We're going to talk about it today. All kinds of things going on in our world as we live here. You've tuned in to 30 Minutes of News, Information, and Comment, brought to you by this local station and the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Don't go away. I'm coming right back with the news. Getting closer and closer for the release of Invisible War on the Saints. Oh, that first edition. First four programs, very powerful. Brought to you by Refuge Media and WHCB Radio down there in Tri-Cities, Tennessee. Are we excited? If it'll help you, if it'll change your life, why not, my friend? You know, I think it's intriguing that Jesus Christ talked 10 times more about hell than he did about heaven, and he talked so much about confrontation with demon spirits in his holy word. Why is that? And then the next question is, why don't you hear about it today? Nobody wants to talk about the devil. I was informed by a university president not to talk about Satan or his demons. A Christian university president. What in the world is that all about? People desperately need help. People in every church listening to this broadcast right now, I will assure you, need some form of help in the spirit world. Invisible war on the saints, it is. It's also silent. Please pray with us as this first series, four messages on the Invisible War on the Saints, goes out. We pray it helps a bunch of people. Thank you for your prayers. Awful, awful, awful. Maryland police say 5 MS-13 gang members filled with sin and Satan stabbed one of their own 100 times and drove the body to Virginia and set it on fire. The victim of the brutal attack was a 16-year-old high school student. Cops identified Jackson Panita Chicas this week after releasing a photo of a tattoo on his left arm. His body found dumped on the side of the road in Stafford, Virginia, like trash. Police in the county said in a news release that the teen was killed at a home 60 miles away in Landover Hills, Maryland, that belonged to a leader of a Virginia MS-13 clique. Cops charged that leader with participating in the murder. This is just hard to believe. To hear somebody being stabbed 100 times, per the medical examiner, pretty much speaks for itself how violent the attack would have been. Just crazy, crazy people in the world today. Well, just last Friday I asked, what is a Beto O'Rourke? He's a Democrat from Texas. Not ready for prime time. Yesterday was a day that Democratic presidential candidate O'Rourke may want to forget forever. His first swing through Iowa as an official candidate for president of the United States was marred by a joke about his wife that drew heavy criticism and the revelation by Reuters that his membership in a hacker group of teenagers where he posted a story about kids getting run over by a car on the group's message board made top news. Just a Sunday of apologizing. Not a good start. Put Nebraska on your prayer list. The flooding there has gotten so bad it's breaking records across the state, about every record. 9 million people in 14 states along the Mississippi and Missouri rivers are under a flood warning, according to meteorologists. The Platte River in Louisville, cresting at 14.3 feet. That's breaking a record also. Much of the major flooding expected to continue into next weekend. Well, some leaked chat logs have connected 7 current members of the U.S. Armed Forces to a white nationalist group, according to the HuffPost. two Marines, two Army ROTC cadets, an Army physician, members of the Texas National Guard, and one member of the Air Force all belong to this white nationalist group, they say. In business news, a top U.S. banking regulator said on Friday that PricewaterhouseCoopers is going to pay $335 million to settle claims of professional negligence after saying the auditor should have identified problems leading to the 2009 collapse of the Alabama-based Colonial Bank. PwC did not confirm or deny those claims, but agreed to pay the settlement fine. The settlement is significantly lower than the $625 million that a federal judge ordered the firm to pay regulators back in July. The FDIC has sued that company for its role as receiver for Colonial Bank, which once had over $25 billion in assets and 340 branches. Hard to believe. And this might be hard to believe. Well, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on. People coming to Christ. Army Chaplain Jose Rondon believes there's nothing more exhilarating in all of life than seeing people come to Christ. In the last 6 months, he's experienced that exhilaration with more than 1,400 professions of faith. Something one could describe as a spiritual awakening. Where? Fort Leonard Wood, his place of ministry. Because of his reputation for being intentional in his ministry, many have come to hear him share the gospel on Sunday mornings. We have seen 1,459 soldiers come to Christ since March of this year. God is doing a great work at Fort Leonard Wood among the hundreds of soldiers who have come to know Christ personally. What a great story. Keep up the good work, Chaplain Rondon. Now, if I could only vote like maybe 50, 60 times, what is that all about? I'll tell you right after this important message. Okay, it's Christian check time. What did the preacher preach on yesterday? What was the theme of that message? Did you have some prayer request? What was the top of the list? What was the most important prayer request or those that were uttered? And have any guessed? Did any of them trust Jesus Christ as Savior? Did your church see anybody saved yesterday? And what did you get out of the Word, huh? Just some of those things that we should be reporting in on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, He knows, but we need to talk to Him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Revival in the church, do you think it's needed? Oh, yeah, about weekly. It really does matter. I recall one revival I held over in San Juan, Puerto Rico, where I got a little discouraged. We had a great meeting. The altar filled every night. A lot of members of the Queen's Royal Air Force in England got saved. Oh, that was a great time. They sounded like Paul McCartney, all of them. But I got a bit discouraged. The assistant pastor said this, "Only one thing wrong, Brother Patton, with these kind of revivals." And I said, "And what would that be, sir?" "It takes this church about 30 days to get back to normal." Enough said. So what do you have to say for yourself, George Bardmesser? Every time a Democrat talks, I want to vote for Donald Trump. Twice. What? Yep, it's a shame. I have to wait another 20 months to vote for President Trump. I wished I could do it right now. Wished I could do it a couple of times, or better yet, in as many jurisdictions as I could get into, preferably in every swing district and every swing state. Yeah, I know. I can't do that. It's been a terrible ride the past couple of years, and I sure hope it doesn't end next November. I'm a middle-of-the-road Republican who voted for Donald Trump with the utmost reluctance back in 2016. He wasn't perfect, no Cicero either, though he can give a decent speech when the chips are down. He had a few skeletons rattling around there in the closet, especially compared to the colorless non-entities like Jeb. So, yep, I was queasy about voting for this ex-registered Democrat from New York and possible liberal turned Republican. I think most people had no idea what was going on. Was I worried? Well, of course I was. Was I depressed? Oh, yeah. But really, what options were out there? Are you kidding? Hillary? Jill Stein? Seriously? Trump wasn't my first choice, wasn't my second choice. He wasn't even my third choice. But by November 2016, when it rolled around, Trump was the only choice on the menu. So I swallowed very hard, took a leap of faith, and pulled the lever for the Donald. And let me tell you, every time one of these newly minted Democratic stars, and there's one every day, opens their mouth, the same thought goes through my mind. I thank God for Donald Trump. Trump is my last line of defense in America. Trump is the only thing that stands between me and these hallucinogenic socialist nut jobs out there today. Trump is what's keeping chaos and left-wing insanity at bay. Well, George, next time you need to tell us what you really think. In health news, I'm sleepy. After all these kids, I haven't gotten enough sleep. That's what they're saying. Parents do not get enough sleep for, what, 6 years after a kid is born? No wonder I'm exhausted. New parents are sometimes shocked to discover how little sleep they really get in the first 6 months after a baby is born. They might also be discouraged to learn now that their sleep patterns might not return to a normal stage until after the newborn is ready for kindergarten. A new study published in the journal Sleep, that's good, Sleep, found that both parental sleep satisfaction and sleep duration sharply declined after childbirth, hitting their lowest point when a baby is 3 months old. Women's sleep duration and quality were far more affected than men, I'm sure, whether or not they breastfed their child. Women lost an average of 1 hour sleep nightly compared to what they got prior to pregnancy, while men lost about 15 minutes of sleep per night. The short-term effects of childbirth on parental sleep is well known. This latest study, they say, confirms all of the effects and a lot of things they knew before. I never heard of such a thing. You have a kid. Have your sleep messed up for 6 years. Really. On a serious note, I have a very good pastor friend who got a sinus infection. And then that went into AFib somehow. And then into, well, with the AFib, 10 days of not sleeping. He got to the point, and this man is brilliant. His IQ is through the roof. He began to question whether he was even sane or not and checked himself into a rehab center for mental difficulties. Been there for several days, had a good chance to talk with him last night. You might put him on your prayer list. Just put Greg's pastor friend. I guess he is recovering now, and three specialists are going to be working with him this week to be able to figure out what's happening with the heart and then sleep, get that organized. The experts saying it takes a long time to recover from going 10 days without sleep. Ah, this body. Pretty complex, isn't it? Well, at our church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the cross rejoicing this Monday over happenings yesterday. We're a small church. To have three men, I mean, all of them over 50, trust Jesus Christ as Savior is just pretty exciting, including one visitor who woke up with God telling him to go to church and his son saying, "Hey, there's a little church just down the street here, Dad." He walked down. God just blessed the entire service in a special way. The message just seemed to be something unusual, to say the least. And at the invitation, these three men raised their hands for salvation. These three men then accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. What a phenomenal day at the cross. Oh, and God then allowed me to have one of those humbling experiences. You had one recently? We were at a restaurant. We go out a lot after Sunday service. People get together. We go out and basically for the fellowship. Yeah, more than food, seriously. Just a good time together. Well, some extra people arrived. Table wasn't big enough. I was going to slide to the end so this one man could be with his wife, and before I knew it, my treasure in the church, for some reason, pulled the chair back. Oh, yeah. Totally humiliating. 72-year-old man down there on the floor. I did that to a waitress one time by error. She was fixing a table. I thought she wanted to get the chairs out of the way. I did the same thing. I'm still trying to live that one down 2 years later. But I'm telling you, God can humble you anytime he wants. Oh, yeah, they helped me up, and I acted like I was fine. More? No, let's do a devotion after this. How about that? Just tuned in. You're listening to Hello World, coming your way each day at this time, brought to you by this local station at the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Tell a friend about the program and join us. Continue to pray and support us if you can. Thank you very much. Let me ask you something. Do you think that we are too much like the world today and too little like Jesus Christ? I have said throughout my revival ministry in America that I believe the church is about 10 years behind the world. We keep adapting accordingly. You know, I think we're in need of transformation or revival, that all Christians have a tendency to go on hold or stall out, content with the level of the life where it is right now. That's what Christians do. This happens frequently in the lives of individual believers, and entire churches go that route. We know that when Christ gets a hold of a person or a church, revival occurs. Scripture teaches that sin is forgiven, mercy is shown, and lives are made like new. All the way back to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, what happens when you get something from God special? You have a revival in your heart. There are seasons when growth stalls, however. As believers, we have that new standing in God, but our life in the world doesn't always reflect that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, be good reading today. You know, the Apostle Paul knew that an ongoing revival had stalled in the lives of the Corinthian believers. In response, he wrote a very tough letter to them about the nature of the gospel and how it was supposed to be lived out in the course of life. Paul's letter to the Corinthian church seems to be as applicable today as ever. As in any generation, God's children are in a position where they can stall out, and the reasons seem to be universal. I remember we had an old Chevelle years ago. Oh, that was a tough time. That thing was a mess. Even the back floorboards were rotted out. Many times I'd look in the back seat to make sure that the kids were still there. I remember being on the bypass here one day, and yep, right in the middle of traffic, she stalled out for the last time. Just shoved it off to the side, called a record service, off to the junkyard it went. We had a terrible car. It stalled at the worst times. Like this, in the middle of an intersection? Are you kidding me? The only way to get a stalled car to start again, you had to open the hood and slam it back down. I'm a real mechanic in that stuff. It was odd. It was embarrassing. But we didn't have the resources to get anything any better. No money. Been there, done that. So we had to endure with something that stalled at the most inopportune times in our life. Despised that thing after a while. You know what can happen to a church? I despise a stalling church. When I see the spiritual growth of my church just go on hold, it's not fun. Christians are to experience the new life every day. The connection to Christ is a guarantee that change is going to be continual. The eternal reality that we were saved from sin should have a daily effect on our life in this world, but sometimes it stalls. Yes, it does. The first letter to the Corinthians was probably tough for Paul to write, tough for the church to read. They were in the midst of a city known for all kinds of wrongs. Many of us live, work, worship in cities like Corinth. Sadly, the moral code became the moral code for many Corinthian believers. You know, I'm often forced to admit that a stalling effect has taken place in my own life. Revival is needed. 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3, brothers, I wasn't able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Jesus Christ. I fed you milk, not solid food, because you weren't able to receive it. In fact, you're still not able, because you're still fleshly. You know, I look at people. I told the congregation yesterday, I see two people there. See this man? There's two of them. One in the flesh, one in the spirit. That's true of every believer. Paul said, for since there is envy and strife among you, oh, really, envy and strife? You are not fleshly, and living like ordinary people? That's the question. 1 Corinthians 3, read it. The members of the church there had placed their faith in Christ and moved from darkness to life. Praise the Lord. But what happened? They need to be revived. They lost their salvation? I don't think so. They lost the forward momentum of their daily lives. Folks, in the process of discipleship, we need to orient people to the reality of a war out there. Romans 8, 8 and 9 says, those whose lives are in the flesh are unable to please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Once a Christian, the Spirit lives within us, but the old self still wars against this transformation in our lives. It's a battle and a process that will continue on into eternity. I believe our church, The Cross in Fort Wayne, Indiana, has been a revived church, and we have chosen to pursue changes for ourselves, and church communities reflect what is possible through the work of Almighty God. I think 1 Corinthians gives us a portrait of what our church members must guard against in order to experience the fullness of the transformation that God intends for us. Maybe we need to pray a little more often. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if, and I think that's should be when, see if there be any wicked way in me, and God, lead me in the way everlasting. What a prayer. You got to repeat that several times a day. Yeah, it can be tough for all of us, my friend. How you doing? We all know that the believer cannot be transformed without the truth, so you got to be saved. 1 John 8:32, you shall know the truth. It'll set you free. Time in God's Word, then, is a necessity for our spiritual exercise. Church members must not fall into the trap of thinking that, hey, group study's enough, Sunday morning's enough, Sunday night's enough. I think everyone should be involved in Bible study of some sort, be exposed to some strong biblical preaching, but don't leave out your personal time with the Word of God. It's a quick path to stalling your spiritual transformation. Exercise, going to get this thing going, are you? Begins with prayer. In another letter, Paul wrote, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4, 6. Prayer, so important to change lives, to change churches. We'll talk more about this on Hello World for tomorrow, but good start, isn't it? Bible, what'd you get out of the Word today? Oh, you need it, my friend. And number two, prayer. Are you really praying, and what are you praying about? Do you have a biblical prayer going? Just two of five things we continually teach and preach at The Cross in Fort Wayne. I want to talk more about a revival needed for your church tomorrow, so tell a friend about the broadcast, and you join us tomorrow for that as well. Hey, here's an idea. Need a ride home near a restaurant that delivers, like Pizza Hut? Order a pizza and then get a ride home with the pizza driver. I like it. Okay, it's true. They caught me talking to myself. Some people say, why would you do that? Sometimes I need expert advice. I'm kidding. And this will tell you how old you are on this date, 1957, The Gumby Show. Remember that? A claymation children's TV program debuted on NBC. I've had my say. I pray the remainder of your Monday is a wonderful one. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. Many of you make an appointment each day at this time. Again, thanks so much. We are blessed. Tell a friend about the broadcast, if you will, and join us again tomorrow, right here, same time, same place. Until then, get active today in the Lord's army. Again, thank you so very much for being here.